League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on! This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? You get extended play today because of the Texas Aggies. The Texas A&M Aggies won.
Oklahoma State sucks, that's why.
Nick is not happy, to say the least.
Oh, I wanted to go home, too. Let's be real. I didn't want to be
so
here.
So no, pew, pew, pew. Last night from our Cowboys.
Ugh.
Yeah. Oklahoma State's own Chad Clay, a local, huge Oklahoma State guy. Couldn't you help us out a little bit and get
Kendall Smith, you suck.
Cowpokes.
That's his name, right? Kendall Smith.
That would have been great.
I watched about 15 total minutes of that game.
Wow, I'm surprised you even watched that much.
You're a better man than me, because you guys bag on me for what I watch on TV, but I wasn't watching that.
Well, I had a rooting interest.
It's kind of like having a wager.
Yeah, it kind of was. Yeah. I felt bad for rooting against the Aggs because, you know, lifelong fan and all, but damn them.
We and us,
I want it
all
off.
That.
I want it off today.
Yeah.
Well, at least for the, you know, from 2 o'clock on. But
right.
But such is life. We'll be doing 3.5 hours of radio today. The Aggies won, so they will be playing at 4:30 today, right here on this very station, ESPN 97.5. So we will we'll be doing our show from 1 to 4. We'll do 30 minutes of the Blitz, and then we'll turn it over to Aggie basketball. Yay!
Yeah, Dave right. South and the Fighting Texas Aggies. Who do they play today? Do we know? No clue.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I figured. All right, so Nick is here, Barry's here, I'm here. We are the usual suspects, and as you know, we call ourselves that because we like you to be suspects as well and participate in the show. So we're going to take you up till 4:30 today, 4 o'clock with our show, 4:30 with the Blitz, and then turn it over to Aggie Basketball. Did you guys do anything spectacular last night or anything pop up in your heads as you drove to work today?
I Christmas shopped online for myself.
Already? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just figured
your wife is not a priority.
You know, do you guys get, well, I've already got her two presents.
Okay, so you're on top of things.
Yeah. I got her, her sister sent me something via text and was like, hey, she wants this, get it for her before they sell out. So I got that. And then I told her I would get her some of those wireless headphones for her iPhone. You know how the new iPhones and stuff have the wireless ones?
Yep.
Well, she gets upset because she's out there weeding the flower beds and she has the wires on and she doesn't like it. So I told her I'd get her some as long as she kept weeding the flower beds. So a deal's a deal. So I ordered those for her. So I'm in good shape. I still got some more to get her. But we go crazy because we don't have kids. So we'll spend a lot of money on each other, like a stupid amount of money on each other for Christmas. And we shouldn't because, you know, we want to put in a pool next year and all this stuff. But we do it anyways. It's dumb.
That's because that's how you roll. When you live on the farm.
Well, you know.
And the 40 acres is full of just prospering.
You're going to fill the pond in and put in a pool. That's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. It's like the Beverly Hills Billies.
Where do you guys stand on the whole Black Friday thing? Because I feel like it's gotten so bad and it's so commercialized. And it really, I mean, it drives me insane that it's no longer a Black Friday. It's the week. It's a month. People start telling, I mean, you'll start hearing about Black Friday deals November 1st. It's like, that's not how that works. The whole point is that it comes down to one day and it's the best deals that you can get all year on that one day. But no, America and the commercialization has to just completely ruin the whole thing. It just drives me insane. It's like seeing Christmas decorations before Halloween.
It's the Christmas lights up before Halloween. It's the fact that you've completely just capsized a holiday in Thanksgiving, because now Black Friday deals start midday Thursday. Stores open and doors open Thursday night at 6, and then it rolls all the way through Black Friday, and then it continues to go from there. And I've never been a Black Friday person.
You've never gone one time?
Nope, not You've one never, time.
Nick, have you ever ran to the mall or Best Buy or
I've never
out?
Waited in line before, but I've like my brother, he when the Xbox came out a long time ago, he waited in line, and dude, it was a full-blown event. I mean, pizza, there's... It was grandmas waiting for their kids to get video games. I swear. And it was really cold.
It's also like you better be able to defend yourself, because in the videos that I've seen on the local news here in the last 3 to 5 years, when they get in there, when they finally do open the doors with the people that have had to wait all night, like at Wally World and all these different places, they start duking it out. Like, you get the one flat screen that they mark down. It's like, you know, the bait and switch method. You know, you got the TV for $200, but everybody has to pay $1,200. And it's like a tug of war. And then women start throwing dukes at other women.
And grandparents get hurt. And it's like, I've seen grandparents get hurt. It's like, golly, just leave the senior citizens alone. Yeah, I actually remember one time there was an elderly lady waiting for the Xbox for her grandson. And it was like 40 degree weather, and she clearly wasn't handling it well. So, like, people in the line let her literally offered their cars, turn the car on, heat in the parking lot, so she could sit down inside the car. That's something I would like to see, because they actually don't care about senior citizens. You'd be surprised what senior citizens go through just for their grandkids. Like, they actually get physically pushed, and like, it's crazy.
I just never have been that guy. Like,
I can't do it.
You'll see people now, like, tomorrow for sure, but. And you might even see them today, but I remember, I think it was last year, we were driving around, and it was maybe the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and there was a tent in Best Buy in the parking lot, like next to the door. Like, they were set up. They were the first person in line.
When did they set up the tent?
Wednesday.
Yeah.
And Black Friday's obviously 2 days away, and you're going to spend Thanksgiving in a tent, you dumbass.
Yeah.
Like, that just makes no sense to me.
Does it make much of a difference if you're, like, the first in line or let's say the 10th or 15th in line? Like, does it really make that much of a difference?
Like, you got to have, like, a layout of the store and know exactly where you're going and go right there. Otherwise, it doesn't matter.
Even then, I just feel like the deals that are out there really aren't worth it. There might be one or two here or there, and they've only got 10 TVs for, you know, $500, and it's a $2,000 TV or whatever. But at the end of the day, to skip Thanksgiving with my family to save $100 on Xbox or $50 or whatever, that's just not worth it. That's just not.
I'll just pay
the money, catch it on sale for maybe, you know, let's say you're saving 40% on Black Friday. I'll just save the 20% the week of Christmas.
Yeah.
And just, you know.
I'll go the following day, dude. Like, places like, if it's a big enough store, like a Best Buy or a Fry's or something, they'll usually have plenty of inventory.
Cyber Monday is cool, but Amazon's already sending me notices because I have the Amazon app on my phone. And I just got one while we were in our production meeting that popped up that said something about, oh, don't wait for Black Friday. Get deals now. No, go to hell, Amazon. I almost don't want to shop with them.
Well, that's
now.
Another confusing part about all that saturated information. When is the best time to get a good deal? Is it during? Is it before? Is it after Christmas?
They don't care. Just spend
your
money.
Think about it. They all have their budgets and their figures that they've got to meet, their goals, and it's a great way for them to get a whole bunch of people through the doors and through the stores in a short amount of time, and it gives them a head start on how they're going to look for the holidays and if they're going to make their budget or not. So that's why they love it. But I'm with you in the fact that, for the insane people, and I know that I have friends that have gotten some great deals by doing it.
All right.
But, you know, you have to be one of those lucky few. You got to know exactly where you're going, and you got to, grab it quick. And you can get a TV for cheap, or you can get a couple of things. But overall, is it worth no sleep? And it's the fact that it's coming into now to where they're opening their doors on Thursday afternoon.
I feel bad for the families of people that work at these places that have to go and work on Thanksgiving or the day after.
I got two buddies at Best Buy, and they were like, man, it was one thing when it was Friday and people were lined up at 3 a.m. for the doors to open. But it's another thing when we got to come in, because you think about it, the doors open at a certain point, like, say 6 o'clock. They got to be there a couple hours before to make sure everything's up, running, prepared, set up. So their Thanksgiving is screwed. And they've had people that have tried to call in sick or say they're going to take a vacation day. And basically they tell them no. And if you do, you're probably gone.
Yeah.
Because there's not really an incentive. Oh, just work Thanksgiving and you'll get time.
Well,
and a half.
I think, yeah, I think you get holiday pay, but.
That's not an incentive for a lot of people. Like, that's not enough money to work Thanksgiving on at a crazy-ass location like that.
I bet you we could find a list of stores that refuse to be open on Thursdays to give their families, you know what I mean, time. And we should find that list and mention all of them. So
I bet you there's a bunch of companies that do
yeah,
that.
What are the chances Chick-fil-A's on there?
I probably yeah,
is
pretty
it?
Good.
That's a good question.
Yeah. The ones that I would say is I would bet the two that I know offhand that are really, really employee friendly are Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby. Is that right?
I don't know about Hobby Lobby, but Chick-fil-A for sure.
Or there's a store like Hobby Lobby. One of those is really like employee friendly. They close on Sundays. And
I think it might be Hobby Lobby.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody said, can we just stop calling it Black Friday? I mean, that's kind of the name. But yeah, I mean, should it just be called like Black November? Because you've stretched it out from a day into a month.
Well, then you got Cyber Monday on
yeah,
top of that.
Yeah. That's the other one. That's
yeah, Cyber Monday. And then people that don't want to go fight the lines just fight their keyboard.
Somebody said they ask you what you want, what you're in line for, and give you a barcode. And then I guess you just go get in line and they get it for you? Well, that would make it more organized. But that kind of takes the fun out of the chaos.
Every store?
I don't know. Maybe Best Buy.
I kind of, if I went, I'd kind of just want to go and watch people just duke
it out.
Just
want the chaos, yeah.
I just want to see everybody go frantically knocking people over.
Somebody said, this can't be true. Sir, whoever texted this, you're a damn lie. Guys, there's actually people who call themselves professional line sitters. They can get paid a bunch to sit in line for these kind of events.
No way.
True story.
No,
true story.
That's not
Is
true.
It really?
True story.
Can we interview? You're the producer, Nick. You have to make this happen. I want to interview a professional line sitter.
I will make fun of it. There's no way I'd be able to be nice
what
to that person.
What kind of dumbass business model is that?
I'd have the camera in his face. Why is your dumbass just waiting in line right now?
Yeah, you're a professional line
sitter.
How
cool you'd be if you went?
I mean.
Because I'm getting paid.
I'm a habitual line stepper, but I'm not a professional line sitter.
That you are.
I am.
Yeah. And by the way, kudos to Nick for letting me in on the feeder road yesterday.
Did he?
Where did you come from? My goodness.
I followed your lead and went far right lane and then came back in. And I'm like, oh, I'm screwed. No, I'm not. There's Nick. He's going to let me in. And he did.
I was like all cocky. I was like, man, I just burnt Joel and left his ass behind. Next thing you know, you see this
right next
just
to him.
Cutting me off.
Josh and Beaumont said, if it's not a kidney, liver, or another vital organ, my kidneys, I'm not standing in line overnight for anything. I'm with you on that,
brother. Agree with that. Ugh. All right, we got a full show and a little extended time as we're going to fill in for the Blitz for a half hour before we take you into Aggie basketball. So that means the HR&P listener line is wide open, and it's your avenue to get into. Join us on The Usual Suspects. You can text, you can call, or you can hit us up on Twitter at @TheProducerNick, @BarryIsFunny, @PacManJoel with the K. Back with a whole lot more as we're just getting started right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're all here, and it is a Tuesday. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, as we're just getting the ball rolling. And I watched a little football last night. I watched a lot of basketball. I know it's surprising. I did not watch the Aggies, but I did watch a lot of NBA hoops. I watched, and we'll get to this later, but I watched Oklahoma City drop another one to a Pelicans team that had Boogie Cousins thrown out.
I saw that. Elbowing Russ. You don't elbow
Westbrook.
You don't elbow the MVP in the head like that. Although he did
right
flop
away,
a little.
Yeah, and right away you could read Boogie Cousins' face where he said, it's a flop.
He flopped.
And then after the game, I retweeted it. Tony Allen was like basically calling Westbrook out for flopping. But it didn't matter because even without Boogie Cousins, they put the Thunder away. And I'm like, God, this team's hard to watch.
The blow, I mean, he had the ball in two hands, elbows out, and Westbrook was kind of nagging him. And he swung his elbow around, but his shoulder hit him first.
Yep.
So it took away a lot of the force of the elbow itself, and then he dove. He took a
dive.
And
it was kind of more neck than jawline or anything, and then it was a little bit. And then all of a sudden, Westbrook just like he got hit by a sniper.
But if the playoffs start – just kidding, I'm not going to do that.
No, please don't. So we can get to some basketball a little later. But I was flipping back and forth and watching a couple of different games while I was watching the football game. But surprisingly enough, that football game became very interesting. That was actually a better game than I had thought it was going to be.
I watched the whole game, and it was I guess it depends on how you look at it. So for me, I thought it was a fun, exciting football game. But if you love defense and good special teams play, it was not a fun, exciting football game.
Not well, unless you think good special teams play is returns.
The first couple of runbacks were just like, what is going to happen in this game? This game could end up being 199.
It was anything you can do, I can do better. First run was 40 yards. The second one was 45 yards on returning of kicks.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. But what a game. I mean, man, Russell Wilson with a couple of minutes left on the clock in a game down by a touchdown or a score or even a field goal. That dude is deadly. I mean, he did it to the Texans. He almost did it to the Falcons. Unfortunately for them, their kicker.
Niners earlier this year.
Yeah, their kicker failed them. And, man, you talk about a heartbreaker. It's not like he pushed it. It wasn't wide right. It wasn't, pulled it left. He didn't put. It was just about a yard short.
Well, the only thing that would have made it closer if it would have actually hit the crossbar, because it literally missed the crossbar by less than an inch.
He came up a yard short, Blair Walsh did. It was a 51-yard field goal. He kicked it 50. And, boy, that sucks. And it was funny because they were talking about maybe you run one more play and get a little bit closer. And if they would have done that, even if they just ran the ball a couple of yards, they tie that game up. But lest you forget, the Pete Carroll also made a mistake doing the fake field goal in the first half with seven seconds left.
Biggest dumbass move I've seen a coach make in quite some time in the NFL.
You 7 seconds left. There's no chance you're going to score on that fake field goal from where they were at.
So and you're out of timeouts.
No, they had the one.
No, they were out of timeouts at that point. That's why I was wondering why he was running that play.
I think they had one left.
I don't believe they did.
Yeah, I think they had one left, but the problem was it was fourth down, so it was a turnover on downs.
And you only had 7 seconds, and the way he's going from behind the line, even if he does gain some yardage, I don't know that it's going to take less than 7 seconds.
Yeah, either way, it was dumb. I mean, you have to kick the field goal and take the points, and if they do that, that's a tie ball game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 34-34, and they're going into overtime, or had a chance to win it instead of tie it. So, bad look. You know what it immediately made me think of was the Cardinals game when Bruce Arians goes for it on fourth down inside their own 30 like a dumbass. And that converts into a touchdown for the Texans. So, yeah, bad decision right there. Seahawks now, 6-4, they're still okay.
Well, they're
but
all right.
It puts Atlanta back into contention, too. They're at 6-4 as well, so.
Atlanta needs Freeman to help with Coleman and the load at running back, but it shows you when they're healthy how good they can be. But Julio Jones was dropping some balls last night that I was surprised, although he made a catch on the sideline. And I don't know if you caught that one.
I did.
But two defenders, both pushing at him to show you just how strong that man is for as big and as quick as he is to get both feet down and catch that ball.
Although, they hurried to the line and snapped the ball.
His one heel might have.
I think his heel might have been on the line. It might have been. I don't know if there was another angle that would have, showed it clearly. But they were smart to get to the line and snap that ball quickly.
When we talk about best receivers in the game, that's why he's right up there with Antonio Brown. Sorry, DeAndre Hopkins. But, yeah, he's got those hands like D-Hop, but he's also got a physical frame to fight off two defenders and do the things that he can do. But he dropped a couple of balls last night.
Yep.
But, I mean, overall, when you look at Russell Wilson, you talk about guys you're supposed to fear when they get to the edge. Fear their legs. And, obviously, Deshaun Watson is coming. But if you want the gold standard for a guy that can do both and do it all so well, Russell Wilson is doing it. And the biggest thing is he's doing it with smoke and mirrors. He really, aside from Doug Baldwin, has nobody. His running game, they had to bring a guy off the practice squad who wasn't bad. But, my God, for as mad as I was when Eddie Lacy left Green Bay, and I thought, now he's going to screw us, and he's going to come back to beat us with the Seahawks, so glad they let him go. His fat ass can't even get a yard. I don't care how much his weight loss clinic has gotten and how much he's, how much he gets paid per pound loss. He might have to put it all back and be a tank
because
he can't run.
Well, he also doesn't have a line to run behind.
I mean, they got Dwayne Brown.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
It's bleh.
It's not a great
line. Seattle line is not a good line.
But again, and we talk about this all the time, but Wilson is the best at it. He makes his line look so much better because of how – and his elusiveness, when they started showing – I don't know if you saw the pregame show when they showed some of the games this year, when he started his escapability in the pocket, when he started running around, running backwards, changing directions, you're like, this dude's a human pinball.
Yeah. Yeah. He's fun to watch.
Man, he is.
I hope he didn't play for the Seahawks. I know. Oh, I don't mind the Seahawks at all.
I hate them.
Do you?
Yeah. Okay. But I don't hate Russell because he went to Wisconsin.
Oh, well, there you go. By the way, from a records perspective, Atlanta at 6-4, Detroit at 6-4, and Seattle at 6-4. All in that last wild card spot, Atlanta wins the tiebreak over Detroit and Seattle based on head-to-head sweep. And then Detroit has the advantage over the Seahawks based on conference percentage. Conference win percentage. So, right now, Seattle at 6-4 on the outside looking in.
Yeah, but you know what? They're not going anywhere anyway. That defense, it's just so depleted right now. It looks totally different from the Legion of Boom. I mean,
well, I'll tell you.
I think you can call them the Legion of Who now because you don't know who the hell's playing what position.
They still have to play the Eagles, the Jags, and the Rams after the Niners. So that's going to make or break them
tough,
for
that's
sure.
A that's tough a stretch. Tough.
And the Cowboys after the Rams. So they've got them a nice little four-game stretch coming up.
Yeah, I mean, definitely going to be tough for Seattle regardless. But again, the other thing that was nice, at least the Texans didn't actually have to take Lane because right off the bat, he got beat like a drum and got a PI and didn't look so great. So we'll take the draft pick instead.
Right.
That was a better move. All right, so we can continue talking about some football. We can talk about some basketball. We got lots of things on our agenda, but what's on yours? Let us know what you're thinking about, what you want to talk about, what you want to get off your chest. 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter. Back in just mere minutes on The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We are filling in for the Blitz and taking you up to Aggie basketball at 4:30 as we continue with The Usual Suspects. So I watched some hoops last night as well as the football. I was bouncing back and forth. And the parity in the NBA is one thing, but the Celtics did it again. And it's crazy. First of all, it shouldn't have been a game, but it was with the Mavs last night. But Kyrie Irving went absolutely bonkers. Then Dallas actually had a chance to win it in regulation, and Harrison Barnes had a shot go in and out, and then Boston just put him away in overtime. And you're like, sometimes when you're rolling and you're hot, man,
that's how it goes.
That's like Steve Novak hitting a big three to win a game, and then give you an MF as loud as he can, and know that he's helping contribute to a streak. That's when you know you're doing something.
That's right. I mean, when it's going good, it's going good. They have the Heat up next Wednesday. It's going to be interesting, man. This team, it's you look at the box scores, and it's just everything's Kyrie Irving, kind of like the Rockets. You know what I mean? Everything's James Harden. There's some balance on this team defensively for sure, but offensively, you look at that team and you think, man, if Hayward doesn't get hurt, what would this Celtics team be like in the East?
Because I was thinking about it last night, like, you know, I'm sure they're dedicating the season to Gordon Hayward, but you can do that all you want, but no one expected that it was going to turn out so far so good like this. But then Kyrie Irving, the mask, he's saying, you know, the black mask, he couldn't see his teammates, he couldn't pass anyway. At least with this mask, he can see the basket, but he still wasn't shooting great and putting up big numbers. He's a plus 21 in the plus minus, but it gets better. 47 points. 6 dimes, 3 boards, 10 of 11 at the line, 16 of 22 from the field, 5 of 7 from three-point range. I mean, that's all world shooting percentages.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just crazy.
Averaging almost 23 a game. I mean, he's it reminds me, it's got a very Russell Westbrook post Durant feel to it. When you saw, once Durant went to Golden State and Westbrook got his team and became the man, he was trying to prove a point.
I kept telling you from the time the trade was made, Robin wanted to be Batman, and this was his chance to prove it.
And that's where I think Kyrie is. He's wanting to prove that he doesn't need LeBron James, that he is the superstar. You know what I mean? And so he's making this push, and I tell you what, he's looking good.
I'll tell you what, Al Horford's worth that 18 to 20 whatever million he's getting. He had a whole 3 points last night.
Wow. I mean, he is leading the team in rebounds, but...
Okay, so aside from
14
the fact...
points.
You know, the only reason why he's doing that is because Aaron Baines has been dinged up and missed a couple of games.
Yeah.
But for the money they're paying him, I cringed when they gave it to him, thinking that he wasn't one of those max players. But now, in 39 minutes, you get 3 points?
Dude, I'm looking at their roster. I'm not even looking at the depth chart, but I'm just going down there. I have their roster pulled up, sorted by points per game with Kyrie first. But after that, you just look at it, and Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, Jason Tatum, Marcus Morris, Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, Aaron Baines. It's like,
okay. I tend to agree with Charles. I really do. I tend to agree with him in that the fact that this is a regular season team. They're off to a hot start, but whether any team has fear in their hearts when they see him or not, I think come playoff time, this team's really going to struggle to beat the top teams in the East.
But let me ask you this, just to play devil's advocate.
It's fine.
Okay. With a team that plays as good a defense as this team plays, because they are playing great defense, doesn't that give them an advantage in the postseason as opposed to not having, you know, several marquee players? Doesn't the defense that they play, can't that, you know, carry them?
You and I have talked about this in the past, and I've been adamant about the fact that the game slows down in the playoffs and that you can't do a lot of the things that you do in the regular season. So the thing to me is, right now, they're playing teams with a style of play that fits right into their wheelhouse because they're still getting up and down because you got the athletes that you have on the Celtics and the guys that you mentioned with Brown and Tatum and
Irving. What do you mean about the game slows down in the playoffs? Like, what do you mean?
It becomes more of a half-court game.
Oh, okay.
Even the Rockets found that out. You can't put up the 118 to 136 and expect to just outscore teams. It's going to become more of a grind. It gets more physical. It's more of a half-court game. That's where you're going to have to see a Boston Celtics team adjust their defense. Because they're great guarding the wings, and Barry, to your point, they're great guarding athletes getting up and down the floor. But when they start getting into playing teams, they're going to post them up. They're going to run two bigs, going to run a high-low, going to run guys that are going to try and pound them. That's where, okay, you got Horford and Baines. Okay, that can help you, but can they sustain it? Because those guys are normally switching out for each other a lot. They might both have to be on the floor. That also alters then their offense and how they run and execute their plan if those two bigs are on the floor as opposed to those athletes.
Well, I'm not suggesting they make a deep playoff run, but I'm just saying with the way that they're playing now and the defense that they're playing, I don't think you dismiss them in the playoffs. I think if they get a high seed, they can beat a lower seed and get to the second round.
I think they get to the second round, but I don't think they're going to beat the likes of Cleveland, especially if Isaiah Thomas comes back. And I've said how big that'll be. It's like getting a free agent all-star in January.
But could you imagine that matchup? How fun would that be? Seven-game series?
It'd be great. It'd be really great to see all of the storylines in there. Isaiah Thomas back against Boston, Kyrie back against the Cavs.
And LeBron.
That would be fun to watch. And you know what? Look, I watched Washington beat the Bucks last night, and I'll tell you this. Don't sleep on the Wizards come playoff time because of the fact that that backcourt is so good, and then they can throw bigs at you too because they can throw Gortat. They've got versatility. The same things you're talking about with Boston, Otto Porter, and some of the guys, Kelly Oubre, some of the guys that Washington has, they can do that too. And maybe a great series in the second round would be Washington and Boston to watch them get up and down the floor, because now you got tons of athleticism and scoring. That would be a fun series to watch. And maybe that, you know, just for the game of basketball in general, for the NBA, that would be a good product to put on the floor for the playoffs.
Are you saying that just because they beat your beloved Bucks?
No. Milwaukee's still figuring it out, but I have doubts about Milwaukee overall. I've said this to my buddies that still work for the organization, too. I think that giving up Greg Monroe is giving up the one true center that they have. And again, when we talk about playoffs and if it slows down, John Henson ain't stopping anybody. We'll talk about sand in the shorts. He might find a pail in a bucket and put it in both back pockets and still not have any sand in his shorts. That dude is a twig. And I watched him try and guard Marc Gasol the other night when they played Memphis, going, good luck with that.
Yeah.
So if that's going to be the case, trying to get him in a seven-game series when he's going to get beat to hell, I don't. Milwaukee needs some help still.
I was trying to look at the statistics for Antetokounmpo and where he sits, and he's second in scoring in the league right now, 29.7 a game behind James Harden.
Yep.
James also leading the league in assists,
which is crazy.
Yeah, at 9-9 ahead of Westbrook and Wall and LeBron and even Ben Simmons, who's playing great. At this point, is James the MVP?
I think so.
I
think if you'd have taken it for the first 10 games, it was the Greek Freak. And I think since then, it's sorted itself out to where Milwaukee, again, and we talk about your team has to be better than average too. Mm-hmm. And Milwaukee's just an average team right now, record-wise. With what the Rockets have done, with the fact that Chris Paul's been out, and with the numbers that you just stated for James Harden, I don't think there's any question, unequivocally, James Harden at this point in the NBA season should be a runaway MVP.
And he's, because we're about a quarter of the way through the season almost. I mean, we're close, we're approaching 20 games.
Getting there.
So you can look at that. I know I hate doing that 5 games in, or like after game one when ESPN tweeted out a picture that said MVP and had Antetokounmpo's numbers for one game on it. It's like, really? ESPN, one game? But I think 25% of the way through, you could start looking at it and assessing. Is he in the mix? Yeah. Harden obviously is. And Antetokounmpo is. I think LeBron James will still be in there. Kyrie Irving has to be in there just for how he's carrying the Celtics right now.
Again, that's where you separate statistics from the overall quote-unquote value in the award. Kyrie Irving's value to that team and what he's doing is like Russell Wilson to the Seahawks. He is carrying the entire load offensively and getting everyone else involved, and when he's not, he's scoring the basketball. And that's got to speak volumes in terms of when voters look at that and say, is he a most valuable player to his team and to the league? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing – and then you work into the facial fracture and the mask that hinders him a little bit too. But, yeah, he's doing a lot of great things. But, look, I'm all in on James Harden this year so far.
Okay.
Because of the fact that, especially with Chris Paul being out for all but a couple of games – the fact that he has shouldered more of the load when he didn't think he was going to have to, and they're continuing to win, that's an impressive run that they've started the season with. It's not Celtics-esque because of the streak, but it's close.
Nick, how you feeling about that? Yeah, no?
Yeah, I'm with him. I don't necessarily disagree with him, but I really do like the Celtics squad. I do like the fact that there's a potential possibility, too, of I think if you're the NBA, you kind of have to want this Celtics and the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think that'd be the most exciting dynamic that you could have in the NBA right now. That's what I'm looking forward to because the Western Conference is so loaded, with all the type of players and stuff. So in terms of NBA, that's what I'm looking forward to the most.
Well, and I think the other thing is because you know that in the West, there's so many good teams, but that's another factor that you're going to have to factor in when you get to playoff time. The West is going to beat the hell out of each other. They're going to be better series in the first round.
And there might be a situation where Western Conference teams don't look as – they look worse than they really are because the Western Conference is beating the hell out of each other. Like, Western Conference teams are going to end up looking a lot worse than they really are because there's so much talent on the left side, I think. But it'll be interesting to see how it turns
out. That's probably true.
But more so than anything else, come playoff time, too, you're going to find first-round matchups where normally it's a breeze and you go with a sweep or the other team maybe wins one game. They're going to go longer, and by the time you get to the Western Conference Finals and then you anoint a Western Conference champion to represent them in the finals, they're going to be gassed.
Well, you're saying them, they're – can we just go ahead and say Golden State?
I mean, they're the leader in the clubhouse, right? Unless they, but anything can happen. Someone can get hurt.
Okay.
They could have their hands full in a first round series and start getting drained. But yeah, I agree with unless there's injuries, sure.
Okay. Yeah, because you're right. Injuries, but outside of injuries, as much as I love the Rockets and what they're doing right now, I don't think they can hang with Golden State.
That just shows how good they are. They're still clearly the definitive,
best
team in the West, despite
best
all
team
the
in the
talent.
NBA.
On the Western, best team in the NBA, despite all the talent in the Western Conference. And obviously, they have to face the West first, but just the fact that there's that much of a difference between them and the Western Conference, that's scary.
Can I give you something else that should make people respect it a little bit more? Because everybody talks about how, it's just the super team and it was constructed. When you look at the way they play, the sacrifices that all of those big four guys have to make in order for that thing to work. And for the fact of the matter is, it's not only does it work, but I watched them the other night down 23 to Philly, come back and win. The other night, then the following night, Durant sits out, Curry fouls out, and they still beat Brooklyn. And give you exhibit B for what I mean by how valuable that is. The Oklahoma City Thunder are a hot mess. And it's because none of the three guys want to make the sacrifices that all the guys in Golden State have to make. And because of it, it's that fine of a line between being that good and being that embarrassingly bad with that much talent on your roster to watch them fall to a Pelicans team that had no Boogie Cousins last night for half the game, and you can't beat them.
Makes you wonder the relationship between Paul George and Russell Westbrook.
There's something to be said for chemistry. You know, you hear it all the time and you think, well, okay, whatever. You know, people talk about Chris Paul and James Harden and getting that chemistry together. But you look at that, they add three really good players and you start to look at wherever Melo goes, it seems there's a problem.
It's selfishness.
Is that guy really that cursed?
He better fix that reputation now. This is his last opportunity to kill that reputation.
I watched it last night, and they're mounting a comeback late in the game, thinking that they can pull it off and come back. Melo checks in the game. I mean, he hasn't even gotten a glisten on his shoulder yet to get a sweat going, and he yanks a 40-foot three. The next time down, Paul George goes 1-on-2 and pulls up from three and clanks that, and I'm going, oh. They're not even close to figuring it out yet because their own egos. George is a free agent. He knows he's got to get paid, right? Westbrook's locked up. You're right about Melo, and I've said this from the beginning. Melo's never played anything short of number one gun. Now he's got to play third fiddle. His ego's not letting him do it right now, and that's why they're struggling mightily.
So sad,
they're under
though.
500.
You're talking about a guy that when he was coming out of the draft with LeBron, LeBron was definitively the best player in that draft, but he was a really close number two.
And
it's getting to the point where he might become a wasted talent. If you're going to go to the third team and not be an impact and be that guy that worsens teams or is perceived to be the cancer in the locker room, oh, man, that's going to kill
your
his
ways,
legacy.
And you've done it at Syracuse, you did it at Denver, you did it at the Knicks, and now all of a sudden you're being told to do it a totally different way, your ego sometimes won't let go.
Yep. You look at the flip side of that with somebody like Dwayne Wade who realizes, okay, I'm past my prime. I need to know my role and play it, and he's playing it well. It's hard to fit in. That chemistry is still an issue, but he's trying at least. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel like with Carmelo Anthony that he's trying. He's still like, no, I can still be a number one option. No, you can't, bro. Pass the ball.
You can't on a really bad team.
Maybe.
You want to win a championship.
Go to the Kings and be a number one.
Yep, exactly right. All right, we'll continue with a whole lot more on the usual suspects. Right now, I want to tell you about the Texas Can Academies. I've been telling you about them for a long time, and I'm telling you about them for a reason, because they make a difference for kids in the Houston area, and it's a great story because it's Houstonians helping kids in need in H-Town, and you can be a part of the solution. What I mean by that is, if you've got a car laying around, a truck, a motorcycle, a boat, an RV, running or not, it doesn't matter. You just let them know, and your donation becomes a resource for kids trying to get an education. With Hurricane Harvey and all that devastation, you lost a car in the process. Maybe it was insured, maybe it wasn't, but now you might have to pay extra to have it towed away. Now you don't have to do that, and in the process, you donate the vehicle, and it makes a difference. All you do is call 713-225-4226 or log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Tell them what you got, tell them where you live, and they come to you with a tow truck, take it away, do all the paperwork, give you a nice tax deduction, and also give you a $50 gift card just for mentioning ESPN 97.5, and that's where the process really begins. They take your donation, and they turn it into those resources that kids sorely need as they're trying to focus on the books. It could be books. It could be a hot meal. It could be eyeglasses. It could be bus fare. All the things that are a distraction if kids don't have them that are great resources when they have them so they can focus on the books. That's what this program does. That's why this program needs donations from people like you. 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. I'm telling you right now, it's a great program, and if you can see it in your heart to make a donation, it'll be worth it to you, and you'll give you a good feeling this holiday season knowing that you are thankful for what you have, but you've also made a difference in kids' lives. Right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. We talked a little football, talked a little basketball. We talked about that Westbrook elbow from Boogie Cousins.
Yeah.
And Kirk Cousins
yes,
tweeted out a picture from one of the newspapers that he was reading. Says, glad to see my fighting skills are getting proper recognition, because the write-up says, Pelicans Cousins ejected. Kirk Cousins was ejected for raising his elbow near Russell Westbrook's face last night.
Is that person fired?
That's a stringer that doesn't know what they're doing. Didn't do enough research. So there you have it.
What exactly is a stringer for our listening audience?
So a stringer provides in-game updates from the game. He'll call in usually to a radio station or a network and provide like 20, 30-second update.
So when you're rolling around H-Town on a Sunday at 1:40 and you're listening to something and you hear, let's go live to Seattle where so-and-so is, you'll give us up. They're like, when the third quarter, it's this, that. That's the stringer.
Correct.
Yep.
AJ Hoffman does that for ESPN nationally. So like if they ever go to Houston, if he's ever covering the Texans game for ESPN, they'll go to AJ Hoffman.
Because he's big time.
He's a big time
guy. Yep. So you got to be a big time guy to do stringer work?
You have to be a little special, I guess.
Okay. I'll never be stringer. I'll never do a stringer.
He's special, Ed. So here's the other term that you probably won't like. Okay. Well, you probably will. But there's a stringer, and then the stringers are expected to get in the gangbang. Because the term
you gotta explain gangbang for our listeners.
The term for when a player is at his locker and the big massive half circle forms around them to get their sound bites and quotes in the media circles, that's called a gangbang.
Okay.
As opposed to when they're at the podium individually and you can.
That's called a press conference.
Yes.
Okay. Which is also a move. It's like the Alabama Hot Pocket, the press conference, and involves a microphone and a cord and some autoerotic asphyxiation. I can't say it.
Asphyxiation?
Say that five times fast.
Asphyxiation. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I want to know about this food you brought.
You're going to go there?
Yeah. Of course I'm going to go there.
What food did he bring?
I'm just annoying. So Joel brings up a bunch of food.
I just figured that last part out, so I don't think that that's necessary. But and I'm guessing on it. But for the most part, I brought in – Lisa's vegan now.
Right, and right? I knew that's why you brought it.
Right.
You were getting all the junk food out of the house.
Yeah, and so
you brought it up here.
She may eat it if it stays in the house.
Oh, she's like that.
She could be tempted.
I'm like that, too. So if there's a Reese's peanut butter cup in the house, even if I'm strictly on a diet, I'll eat it.
Plus, her parents are coming in.
Ice cream, I'm going to eat it. Yeah.
So because her parents are coming in,
she wants
mom and dad to think everything's clean and organized in the pantry and everything's good. So all of a sudden, I come back from the gym the other night, and I go, what's all this? And she goes, take it all to work. I go, take it all to work. She goes,
why does she take it to work?
You got all
poison
the interns.
Her coworkers.
Now, sometimes she does. Sometimes she does.
All of it's expired.
Not all of it is expired.
All of it, the Twizzlers are as hard as a Chico stick. And there's a whole box of them, so no one ate them.
Twizzlers
are overrated, man.
Twizzlers.
I can't.
Twizzlers are whack.
And this is coming from a guy who, like, if there's nothing around, I'll full blown eat a Twizzler, but I wouldn't. They're overrated.
I don't understand the appeal of a Twizzler. I really don't. Like
they're so much better than Red Ropes.
Trey was like, what do you like better? Those are Red Vines. And I was like, the hell's a Red Vine?
And Red Ropes. I don't like
And he was like, you don't know
the
what those are?
Better on Twizzlers.
It's just licorice, right? That's all
great
it is?
Stuff.
Which licorice is old people candy.
No.
You eat black jelly beans?
No, I hate them.
You're racist.
But I grew up, and I hate black licorice too, so you can call me that again.
Wow.
But I will say this. I grew up in a neighborhood where we had one of the original kind of dime stores, not the chains like Walgreens and CVS, and they made their own fresh homemade licorice.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was awesome.
It was awesome?
Awesome.
I don't understand how licorice
I don't like
flavors.
Licorice. So
licorice in any form can
be
awesome.
I won't touch licorice.
But that's definitely a Midwest thing.
It is, and I love it.
But you brought in these brownies, which
muscle
expired
brownies.
In 2016.
No, they did not.
Look at
they
the box.
Did not. No, they
Nick,
did not.
Bring me the box. Bring me the box.
Where's the box?
The box is out there on the
first
table.
First of all, it doesn't
bring
matter.
The table. The one right here in this hallway?
Yes. You'll see it's the muscle brownie box.
November the 3rd of this month that is the expiration on those. Not 2016.
Okay. Well, they expired.
Raheel took them all.
Yeah, but there was two left. But I'm saying you brought in expired food.
It says best when used by. That doesn't mean.
That's it. Do you drink milk?
Do you think that when
after the best when used by date?
Do you think when I saw all this crap on my back cabinet that I went and checked every expiration date?
I would have. My wife
all right,
would
honey,
have.
I'll load up the car and I'll get it all to the office.
Nora would have said, all right, look, now this stuff is expired, so throw this away. This stuff isn't, but I want it out of the house, so take it to work.
All the other boxes of unopened Ritz crackers are fresh.
Snack packs
are fresh.
They're expired, aren't they?
No, they're not.
So the brownies, no. It just says sell by November 3rd.
But that
doesn't mean it's expired.
Right.
No,
that
it's not.
That's the sell by date.
The sell by date can't be the same as the expiration
date,
right?
No, it cannot.
It says sell by November 3rd, 2017. Now, the Twizzlers,
The Twizzlers, I'm not going to lie.
2016, full disclosure.
So that's bad, but I've got a brownie package in front of me that you gave. It's got to have an expiration date
on it. Go ahead and look for it, because it's a sell-by date. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done that. Now, the licorice, I didn't know where it came from, but I haven't eaten it because I'm not eating all that
crap.
Should
I try one of these expired Twizzlers?
Yeah, do it.
I'm sure they're fine.
I mean, you know, if you don't like your teeth, you're going to chip a tooth on it. Is it hard as a rock?
Oh, my God. They're ridiculously hard. I might lose a tooth
it's
biting
like
through this
a
thing.
Piece of you red chalk.
Bet that they don't last, that everybody's going to still eat them?
I bet you
I bet
nobody
you
eats
will.
Them once they try one, they're going to throw them away.
I agree with Joel. I bet you someone will eat them.
Who? Who do we have here with teeth that good? It ain't going to be Barry Warner.
If you don't tell them that it's expired and they sink their teeth in it, they're like, whatever, it's already in my system. You know what I mean?
No.
They'll just finish it. Yeah.
No way.
I can totally see someone here doing that.
Yeah, cracking a tooth
totally
on
agree.
Them. But yeah, sell by 11/3/2017. That's the expiration date. Though that
it is
that
not.
Means
that's
it's
gonna,
I need my knee
date.
To break this thing, dude. Just
to break the Twizzler.
Yeah. Nick, why don't you try this muscle brownie with the protein in it and tell me if it's expired.
Now,
or not.
Were you eating these?
Yeah.
Are they good?
Yeah.
I'll try the muscle brownie.
The other ones that she even has another box that are even better, and they're peanut butter chocolate. But I feel guilty, and then when I talk to her about it, and I go, why did you stop eating these? Well, she's like, first, it's the vegan thing. I said, honey, it tastes like you're eating a candy bar. She's like, well, for all intents and purposes. And I'm like, then I'm not eating it.
I bet you we can play tug-of-war with this thing.
Yeah, it won't snap. Those Twizzlers. Now, the Ritz crackers, I didn't investigate
them.
They're
all fresh.
What a weird combination for you to bring to the office.
This reminds me of
a
that
box
McDonald's
of
documentary. You know how like they had like the burger just sitting in the room?
The fries that never...
For like a month and it looked exactly the same after like 30 days?
You ever found a French fry in your car? You have no idea how old it is, but I guarantee you it's been months. But
and
you find a McDonald's...
exactly the same.
Yep. Yep, and tastes the same
they
too.
No, it doesn't. They did all those studies with how long they last.
Nick to eat French fries.
It does not. I've done that before.
Raheel's got the seatbelt around how many protein bars that you were talking about that he took home.
Oh man, rest in peace to Raheel's intestines,
dude. It's a sell-by date. They're fresh. I guarantee you, Raheel will tell you the same thing.
He's gonna die. Ugh. But what a weird mix you brought. You brought in Ritz crackers, muscle brownies, and Twizzlers. There's some weird snack habits going on at your house. You guys are conflicted.
As opposed to you bringing in...
Nothing.
Yeah.
Because I eat all the food
but
in my house.
You could expect Barry to make fun of you if they're expired. You should have checked that expiration.
I didn't even think about it. I just put everything
in
the car.
You know Barry was
going to
call you out
on that. The Ritz crackers
that.
I know she bought at the store recently, all of those.
How old are they?
Jeez.
All right, hold on.
Nick's going to go check
it. Please do. They were purchased recently
funny.
Because Taylor eats them. Uh-oh. And she doesn't want Taylor.
You're feeding your
now.
Kid expired food?
No, I'm not. Those aren't expired.
Man. Clarence knows about snacks
now.
Clarence knows about
what
snacks.
What kind of parent? Oh,
should Clarence, we go to break or should we take Clarence?
Clarence wants to talk about snacks. Oh God, we got to go to break.
That's like peaches and herb.
It's 1:59. Yeah. We're
Clarence,
way over.
Hold tight. We'll get you in a second. All right, one in the books, two to go. Two more hours of the show, plus an extended half hour as we fill in
bonus
Blitz
tracks
until. We get to Aggie basketball at 4:30 with another holiday tournament game coming up for the Aggs. So don't go anywhere. We've only 60 minutes in. We've got 2 hours still to go on the big show right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.